Larry Weber joins us on the phone this morning. Larry's in a great mood this morning, she said sarcastically, because there's nothing Larry likes as much as really hot weather. Larry loves it when it gets to be 90, don't you, Larry?
Well, I'm almost 90.
I'm talking about temperature, not your age,
anyway,
silly goose.
Yeah, we'll say a few words about the weather, but let's don't forget that a week ago today, the temperature we were talking about was record-setting low. The Weather Service last Friday morning and Saturday morning, both mornings, set records for low temperatures, and there were lots of people who had some frost on their gardens and so forth. And though I didn't see frost on a garden, I did see frost on the roadside, and I did see some plants that were wild plants that were zapped by the frost.
Do you remember what those low temperatures were? I'm trying to remember back that far.
Friday morning, the official low at the Weather Service was 30 degrees, and Saturday it was 29. Now, there are a lot of outlying areas that got considerably colder than that, and I heard that there was up on the range, there were some places that it got down to the low 20s. So, anyway, today we won't be seeing that, but we will be seeing the opposite of, there's a possibility, again, we may be setting records. But you know what? They're making such a big deal of this, but we get 90 degrees every summer. It's just to be...
July.
Well, not always. I can remember years where the hottest temperature of the whole summer came in June, and there's even one case where it came in May. So, yes, it can happen, but I'm not going to make a big thing of it. It's just part of life. We are on June 4. The summer solstice is a little over 2 weeks away. It's on June 20, and so we're moving in that direction, and we're also moving in that direction with daylight. We are having now a sunrise approaching 5:14. Now, why is that a big deal? Because 5:14 is the earliest sunrise that we have for the entire year. And we will stay at that 5:14 for about 10 days, from June 10 to about June 20, and then the sunrises start getting later. Okay, and we have a sunset now of nearly 9 o'clock. Now, if you check the time between those, that's 15 and 3/4 hours of daylight. We never quite reach 16 hours of daylight at this latitude, but we get pretty close to it. The days are definitely very long and often very warm. And yes, we did get some rain this week. We had some interesting thunder shower, plenty of lightning, not a lot of rain that came across on the night of the 30th. And that also made a difference. But I would like to see a little bit more rain coming up. June is supposed to be the wettest month that we have of the year. Now, that rain I just told you about came in late May. Late May was only about half the amount of moisture that we usually get. That is not a good sign. I would like to see a little turnaround and get some more moisture in June. Last year, we had a very dry June. Let's hope we're not repeating that, but we'll have to deal with what other Mother Nature says. There is drought. If you take a look on the map of the United States of where there is drought, there are some places getting hit very hard, including our neighbors to the west, North Dakota, getting hit very hard by drought. So we'll see if that spills over to our place. Now, speaking of longer days and the sunrise and so forth, we have a phenomenon coming up on Thursday morning, June 10, at sunrise. Now, sunrise, as I said, is 5:14. Shortly after that, it will reach its maximum. And what I'm referring to is the partial solar eclipse that's coming over parts of North America. This is what is known as an annular eclipse, which means the moon is in front of the sun, but it doesn't block it entirely. There is a circle of the sunlight around the outside, and the word for circle is annulus, and so it's called an annular solar eclipse. Now, that's not going to happen anywhere near us. What we are going to have is only a partial blocking of the sun. It's not even 50%. It's probably closer to 30%. 1/3 to 40% of the blockage. It happens very early in the morning. It happens at the 5:18 is when it's at its maximum, and most of us are not going to be up and looking to the east at that time. As always with solar eclipses, never, 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 unless you have major protection, never look at the actual sun itself. You can get a pretty good view by taking, I have done this with 3x5 cards, just punching a hole with a 3x5 card and then let the sunlight come through it and then project it onto another card, and you get a pretty good view of the eclipse going on. But anyway, it is, for most people, it's going to be a bother to even try to get up to see it. And you best see it because the sun is going to be very low at some places where we're not blocked by all the trees. The longer days are still going on with the migration, though migration has, with most songbirds, has pretty well concluded by the time we get to 1st of June. There are late migrants that still show up. I almost always see the first wood peewee of the season, a little flycatcher that lives in the woods here. I usually don't see those until June. And then there's cedar waxwings, and there's a few others that are late in migrant. But for the most part, after they come back from migration, they go into the next phase, and that is the nesting. And the singing goes on as a proclamation of their territory when they're doing this nesting. That's why the breeding bird survey is done in the month of June, where people go out and listen to the bird songs and make note of what's singing and what in a particular area. I did it for many years. We would go out and stop along a 25-mile route, stop every half mile, and listen for 3 minutes to the various songs of birds that were singing. And this gave a pretty good snapshot of what's going on in the breeding world, and that happens in the month of June. Now, last time I mentioned that there were some phenomena that they're on their way that we're going to very soon see. Well, I mentioned three of them, and yes, they all happened. Number one, I was walking on the morning of May 31, and right there on the trail in front of me was a fawn. That was one of the things I mentioned, that the deer is going to be having their babies. I don't think the fawn was born during the night. It looked like it was a couple days old, but nevertheless, it was still very young, and it was all curled up by itself while the mother was off somewhere else. Number two happened also on that same day of May 31, but it didn't happen until late at night, almost 10 o'clock, and that was I went out to a swamp to check the calling of the frogs, and gray tree frogs are calling very loud now from swamps, and these warm evenings is going to bring out even more of them. There's going to be a great show at the local swamp this evening. Anyway, I went out to listen to it, and then on the way back, there it was up in the trees. I saw the first fireflies of the season. I have noticed over the years that the first fireflies of the season tend to be more in the trees. Later, as we get into the firefly season, which is most of the month of June and a big part of July, they are in the roadside grasses and the fields and so forth. But the first ones up in the tree, always a terrific sighting. What a wonderful insect, and we are so fortunate that they live here. The third one that I mentioned that was going to be happen, I didn't see until last night. Once again, I was walking out to listen to the frogs in the swamp, and right there along the roadside in front of me was a painted turtle digging a hole to lay eggs. And yes, that was another phenomenon that I said we're on our way to see. Perhaps the biggest sighting that we're going to be seeing now as we get further into June is going to be in the wildflowers away from the woods. We are approaching summer, and when we have 90 degrees, that's pretty obvious. But the definition that I give for the end of spring is when the wildflowers out in the open outnumber those that are in the woods. And up until now, the woods wildflowers have been far outnumbering those in the open, but it is changing. And just in the last few days, I found in bloom vetch, lupine, buttercup, daisy, yarrow, and fleabane, all of which grow out in the open. There's going to be many more added to that list. I didn't mention hawkweed, and I didn't mention clovers, and they're both going to be blooming very soon. And so, yeah, that's going to be a really great thing to be on the lookout for. Another terrific thing to be on the lookout for is with the smaller trees. As we went in through May, we had the blooming of the wild plum, we had pin cherry, we had juneberry, and then later in the month we had elderberry and chokecherry. Well, now as we get into June, the two that are going to be dominating are going to be the dogwoods and the viburnums. Viburnum is a, we have three kinds of viburnums that grow in the woods around here, though none of the three are called viburnum. One is called nannyberry, another called highbush cranberry, and a third one called arrowwood. I saw in bloom two of those three just in the last couple of days. I have not yet seen arrowwood in bloom. Among dogwoods, there are several kinds, and those have also started to bloom in the last couple of days, as has wild rose starting to bloom. And that's going to be really terrific because they're smaller, but they continue blossoming for a long time. Out in the bogs and swamp, there is bog laurel and Labrador tea in bloom. I don't go to Duluth very often, but I was in Duluth this week, and I was especially impressed with all the lilac, mountain ash, and honeysuckles that were in bloom along the streets. This is really a neat sighting. Also among the trees, as we get into June, we're going to see the new growth. The most obvious place to see it is on pine trees, where this new growth sticks up, and it is often referred to as a candle. That is the new growth. Around here, trees grow longer, or the branches grow longer only during this time of year. They don't continue to grow it for the rest of the year. And then soon we're going to have pollen cones coming out on the pines. I saw those starting this week with red pine and with jack pine. Other things of note, we are having a great emergence of dragonflies. And if you can get to any kind of a wet area, a lake or whatever, and just start looking around, you can see the new dragonflies. Dragonflies spend their immature years, most of them, the immature life, in water. And then at this time of year, they'll climb up on something along the shore, and they will open up their exoskeleton from their early life, and they'll step out into adulthood. And even though they've never done it before, they'll take off and fly like they are just a terrific, terrific flyers. Be on the lookout for those. And if you see them, just stop and take a close look. And there's a big variety of them. I've been seeing about five kinds almost every time I take a walk now. And speaking of variety, this is a wonderful time to see the butterflies. Swallowtails, both the tiger swallowtail and the black swallowtail. Tiger swallowtails are very common, easy to see. Black are a little bit harder to see. Monarchs are pretty easy to see. Fritillaries, sulfurs, cabbage whites, and blues, and then the tiny butterflies called skippers. Yes, I've been seeing those as well. And speaking of their Lepidoptera, their cousin, this is also the time when we see the giant moth. There is a light brown one that has a bunch of spots on it known as a polyphemus moth. And then there is another one that's kind of a reddish brown known as a cecropia. And then there is the well-known green one known as Luna. And this is a time when we can see all those. So, yes, Lisa, June is busting out all over.
Okay, the coolest moth ever, ever. It's a snowberry clear wing hummingbird moth.
Aren't they neat? Yeah. Fuzzy.
It's adorable. Yep. You want to kiss it on its little face, but they're not a big fan of that. Their wings are clear. They look like flying fuzzy shrimp.
Yeah. Well, they've also been said to imitate bumblebees, and that's one reason why many of us don't get too close to them. But I agree with you. Clear wing is itself quite a phenomenon. And, yeah, they are a type of sphinx moth. And, yeah, they fly in the daytime. We tend to think of moths at night, but, no, there's quite a large number of them that fly in the daytime. So, yes, great discoveries. It sounds like next time you will do the Backyard Almanac.
No, I'll just present a whole bunch of photographs. I'll hold them right up to the microphone, and then you can identify things.
That sounds just great. I can hardly wait.
Me neither.
Get out there and enjoy the heat. I'm sure you will.
Certainly will. Thanks, Larry. Larry Weber this morning, our host for Backyard Almanac, a regular feature of Fridays right here on KUMD.